Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's not John. He's not here. He's not here.
We get a text from John, and this is serious, so I do not want to make fun of this at all. I'm actually concerned about this. Do we have an intern in yet, Del?
Not yet.
Okay. Then I was going to call and let you guys make your predictions on what he has. These are symptoms. If there's a doctor who's listening, or even if you are just good at, you got a lot of WebMD, Google searching and things like that, so you just feel like you know what injuries are and what things are, you can weigh in on this, 713-780-3776. These are the symptoms. Not sure I can go today, boys, B-O-Y-Z. You okay with that, Del? Is that the hip, John? Is that the one that wears the Ultra Boost?
Well, the title of the group chat is Glory Boys.
Right.
So he's allowed.
Okay. Can't hardly breathe right off the bat. Could be just a simple asthma attack, but could also be emphysema, although he hasn't smoked for several years.
Or he's writing a song for Third Eye Blind. I don't know. Can't hardly breathe. I don't know.
Could be. Doing. Blow my nose and it's all blood for the second straight day. Is that tuberculosis?
Didn't
Doc Holliday used to blow his nose and blood came out in that movie?
Doc Holliday was always near death. In every instance I've seen him portrayed, he's always about to die.
John's more tan than Doc Holliday was in the movie.
That's true.
Might be pneumonia or pleurisy.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. I've heard of it. Pleurisy. I don't know what it is.
Now he sounds like Doc Holliday.
Pleurisy. I think I should go to a doctor. So he says might be pneumonia or pleurisy. One of those, I'm pretty sure pneumonia can't kill you. So thoughts and prayers to John. And if something happens, we're going to have a tryout for his spot, just so y'all know. I'm going to turn it into a radio event. Hurts to breathe and can't stop coughing. I'm out. And I just told him, you need to get right with Jesus. He said, praise be. And then Raheel said, you probably caught it from Gilbert.
Yeah, because Gilbert and allegedly, I thought that picture was old, but at least I thought I'd seen that picture before.
It's got to be old. That couldn't be new. Yeah. There's a picture. John sends a picture with Wendy next to Gilbert in a suit. When could that have possibly happened? And that looked like a healthier. There's no chance. That looked like a healthier Gilbert than what we've seen lately.
Gilbert's near death?
Well, have you heard a call?
Well, he's always like that.
He's told us he's had, in the phone calls he's had, I got cancer calls at the other station and this station, and he told us he was lying. Then he said it looked like they were going to do something to him. That ended up being a lie, but it feels like Gilbert's not super healthy, and that feels like John's not super healthy. So, I don't know if you guys have any insight into that. We're going to play InfoLine later as well, because I feel like we need to get some good information out here in the city. The city had a bad Saturday. The Houston Rockets, your Houston Rockets, Dale, my Houston Rockets, our Houston Rockets had a 26-point lead against the Oklahoma City Thunder, against our mortal enemy Russell Westbrook, against our new enemy Paul George. 26 points. James is on the way to cruising towards another 30-point game. In fact, he hit the 40s. Chris Paul's in the lineup, just doing Chris Paul things. 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 turnovers. Didn't score a ton. P.J. Tucker, 0 points, 36 minutes. Kenneth Faried, another good game by the Manimal. Things are looking good. Iman Shumpert making his debut with the Rockets. 26 points. Then,
what?
24 minutes.
Oh, let's be clear.
Yeah. No, not 26 Iman Shumpert. Points. Yeah, Iman Shumpert had 24 minutes played, and they were not great minutes. He did have 4 fouls and I think 2 points. He made a basket.
Yeah, congratulations.
Just 1 of 5. And then in the third quarter.
Let me ask you something, Lance.
Yeah.
When you put up 42 in the second and extend your lead to 22, mm-hmm. do you think at any point in that halftime talk, Mike D'Antoni thought to himself, we're going to be tied at the end of three?
No.
Because
do you think Paul George thought that?
Judging by his quote after the game, yeah.
What was his quote, Del?
He goes, we knew this team would let us back in.
And that's not an unfair quote.
No,
that's but not even trash talk. That's how the Rockets have been this way for like, since Harden got here, since I don't know for how long, maybe even beyond that, they have wild swings. Just like when they get down 20, they'll get back in games. That's how it goes. 26 feels like a little much.
It's
22.
Particularly when it all disappears in one quarter.
Yeah, when it all goes away and you give up 40 in the third, that was not what you had hoped for. And then they just played. It was just a disastrous last minute for the Rockets. Give up a go-ahead layup to Russell Westbrook with about 26, 27 seconds left. And then it was just, you know, James misses a three. Then they had a turnover. It was just bad things. Rockets take a bad loss. That's one that you chalked up as a W early on, at least I did in my head and in my my tally sheet that I had.
Hmm.
Well, something I had going on. I thought, well, that's a win, obviously. No, it wasn't a win.
No.
It was not a win. So your Houston Rockets lose over the weekend, and Iman Shumpert came back. So what do you think about the Iman Shumpert deal now? It looks like Iman is going to be – well, he got his minutes right off the bat. He got a bunch of minutes.
Yeah, it'll be the deal, but we saw what happened late in that game. I mean, late in the fourth quarter, because the Rockets were in a close ball game, you cannot suffer Iman Shumpert's lack of jumper. So they decided, despite what he might be able to provide defensively, that we can't play you here because we need to score. And I feel like that's going to be the case quite a bit. In tight ball games, and we all know Iman Shumpert's not here for the regular season, the thought is Iman Shumpert will be, well, at least the hope is, he'll be a guy you can go to in the postseason to add to your rotation.
Yeah, yeah, but let me ask you this. This is what's became painfully obvious to me. You now have a lineup when Clint Capella comes back where you've got Fareed, who I love Kenneth Fareed in every situation and scenario, except when the Rockets are trying to spread the floor, and you've got two guys like Fareed and is he needs to be playing standard minutes, obviously. I would rather have P.J. Tucker go out, to be honest with you, but he can stretch the court. When Clint Capella, who's a high screen and roll guy, comes back, how are you going to play Shumpert and Fareed and Capella? You're obviously not going to play them together, but you got some different. And I'm not calling Shumpert a lane clogger. He's just not a shot maker.
Yeah, and we saw the Rockets were
not really. I mean, he can make some threes.
Yeah, but
I'm sure the Rockets would argue that. But
yeah, I mean, probably the reason they got him is probably they think in certain spots he can make shots. But yeah, we'll see. We know he was unplayable for the Cavs, particularly last year, in the playoffs and really in the finals. We'll see how that works out, but I don't suspect that you'll see Fareed and Shumpert on the court in games where the Rockets are trying to match points for point, because that's what they're going to have to do. This whole identity that they're still a defensive team is out the window. So we saw last year the Mbamute, the Ariza stuff, that helped and led them to be a really good defensive team, and maybe they're trying to bring some of that identity back, but I think that's gone. I feel like you're – what are we, 50 games into the 50 plus games, almost 60 games into the year, into the season? I've actually over 59. That whole we're a defensive team is over. I don't see the Rockets gaining that back. So I think what we saw late is what we'll see in the playoffs. You won't see a lot of Iman Shumpert in close ball games because the Rockets are going to have to try to score points, particularly when you it would be nice to have Iman Shumpert when Paul George is going for 45. But I don't think Iman Shumpert is the defensive lockdown player that's going to lock down a star. So I get the give and take, but I'd rather have Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker on the floor than the Fareed and Shumpert combination, because I don't think those guys are good enough defensively to make up for what they are going to lack offensively.
Yeah, you might be right. And then you're talking about the Rockets are a different team. Like, it's fine if you're going to have a different profile as a team. That's the problem. If you're going to be a high-flying team, well, you know, last year they could hit you in bunches. with points, but they had defenders. This year they have defenders, but they're not hitting you in bunches with – well, that's not true. They do score, and they can score. It's just not – there's not a level of consistency like there was last year. And let's get it – you know, don't get this twisted. That was the greatest regular season in Rockets history. So last year was the all-time outlier for the Houston Rockets as an organization that has won two championships back-to-back. That was a very rare occurrence to play that level of basketball. Now you're playing a more up and down, a more inconsistent brand of basketball, which is, you know, a little more standard. And they've got some mismatched toys on that roster. It is not, they're going to have to figure this out. And I'm not sure Mike D'Antoni can just stay with, right now we still got James is going to score his 30 and we'll figure the rest out. That's just not going to work. I know Kobe talked about that and brought it up, and it's true. James even admitted as much. This is what he has to do right now is what he said. But we've got Eric Gordon is back, and Chris Paul is back. And you've got, you know, kind of a glorified junk man in Kenneth Faried who can do a little bit more for you. At some point, James is going to have to gear down and see if he can get Chris Paul really rolling again offensively. Because if not, I just – We've got a pretty big sample size now in this season to see that James is going to get his points and all that, and you'll have some moments, but I don't think it just doesn't look sustainable to me, not at a high level, not at a get to the Western Conference Finals level. It doesn't look like a sustainable brand of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you can remove you can talk about the players that are not here from last year, but like you said, they're not the same team, and they're not going to be able to. I don't think there is that gear that they can reach that they reached last year. They're just not that team. They're going to have to find a different way. And I don't know if how many games has James done this. Is he going to be able to say, all right? And is Chris Paul capable? I mean, we could talk about James handing over some of it, but is Chris Paul capable of taking some of that back?
Right.
Because I don't question James currently. My question is, can Chris Paul be the guy they want? They need him to be. It's not even about want. What they need him to be, I'm not sure he can be that.
Yeah, they need him to be that. That's not a want. They needed it last year, and when they got it, we took it for granted because they played at such a high level. That's what they need again, and we'll just have to see if they have that. If he doesn't, they do have some other guys that could pick up the pace. I mean, they could maybe pick up some of the slack, and Freed's done that since he's come over. But you don't really... Like, your game, your style of play is not suited to taking advantage of those guys. They got to get theirs where they pop up. So, anyway, that's we'll get to that a little bit. We got some other stuff. Richard Justice is going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk about what the Astros have done so far, what they haven't done, and then free agency, as there may finally be some movement. There's a rumor going around about Bryce Harper taking a short-term deal with the Giants. So, we will get to that at 8 o'clock with Richard Justice. When we come back, I've got something very specific I want to talk to you guys about. And Dale, I know, Dale, you watched it. For those of you, and I'm going to give you a chance to get on the phone lines right now, I want to get your thoughts on the AAF, the brand new football league. Kind of came in quietly, I thought, without much fanfare, and I couldn't believe how lit my timeline on Twitter was about people watching AAF football and commenting on AAF football. I couldn't believe it. And some of the different rules. If you guys watched over the weekend and you've got a thought, whether it's positive, negative, or whatever the case may be, 713-780-3776. We'll get you in very quickly on the other side. And Dell and I are working our comments as well. 713-780-3776. You can talk about anything, but I am specifically wanting to know what your thoughts were if you watched any of the new football league and if you think it's sustainable or not based on the first weekend of action. A player almost got killed on the field, and it was a quarterback. I think the rules are going to be a little – there was no flag either. The rules are going to be a little different in the AAF, and we'll tell you what some of those are. Here's our number, 713-780-3776. You can be the leadoff hitter for the show today as John Granato is suffering from pleurisy. I want to tell you what you're suffering from. You're going to suffer from that government shutdown if you don't get Rose Express involved in Valentine's Day. I'm just telling you, and we know what that's a euphemism for. It means the wife will not be happy, and when she's not happy, unhappy wife, unhappy life. That's how it goes. Rose Express can turn that all around for you. They've got roses that are being grown in the fields. They cut them fresh from the fields. They package them, and they get them to her for Valentine's Day. And yes, You can get Valentine's Day delivery right now. It's Monday. You've been waiting. You still don't have a Valentine's Day gift. If you're going to get something in addition to, send her roses as well. If you want this to be the gift, then do it up big and send it to her office. You can choose your delivery date right there on the website. And let me give you an idea of the cost right now. 50 roses, $69. 75 roses, $99. For $100, you can get 75 roses delivered to her office, and that is going to be big time. And if you want to go just 25, you can do that for $39 as well. You cannot find better prices than this on the week of Valentine's Day. The wholesale prices are available to you thanks to Rose Express. Go to Rose Express right now and order today so you can get the guaranteed delivery for Thursday. RoseExpress.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
One-on-one, picks up the first down. Barkovici never saw the man coming, and he is lit up. My goodness. Sean Washington with the stick.
This has been the issue with Berkovici. Awareness and ball security when pressure comes in the pocket. Wow, he was completely blindsided. He had no idea.
That was action from the AAF as Mike Berkovici. Man, I wrote his... I actually liked his arm talent. I can't remember. Arizona State. Arizona State quarterback Mike Berkovici. It was amazing. And going through this the rosters, I couldn't believe how many guys I recognized who I had either written up or who have been in on NFL teams. Guys like the great Christian Hackenberg.
Ooh.
Bill O'Brien's pet project. He was so bad that Bill O'Brien, the quarterback whisperer, is like, I got to get out of here. Yeah. I can't do this.
And he was just...
Actually, he had his best year ever when Bill O'Brien was his head coach.
He was just
as
bad.
It was all downhill after that.
Just as bad in his first game. Over the weekend.
I will never forget when the Texans had their draft pick. I went on the air. It was in October, I think. No, it was like sometime in maybe it was January, February, and we had it recorded where I just said, I'm telling you now, if Bill O'Brien, I am terrified that Bill O'Brien is going to select Christian Hackenberg. I had watched him, I had written his draft write up, and he couldn't throw one complete pass. He was just so bad. And I was terrified that Bill O'Brien would go with the big, tall pocket passer. We had already seen Ryan Mallett here, and I just thought this guy's maybe a worse version of Ryan Mallett. Sure enough, Bill O'Brien passed, at least in the first round. The Jets took a bite out of that piece of apple pie, and they didn't like the taste, and they spit it out. Now he's in the AAF after just a couple of years and playing poorly there.
Yep.
Got shut out and got benched in the AAF.
You heard the hit on Mike Berkovici. It was the hit by Sean Washington, a Texas A&M player. But Berkovici, better known for him probably before that hit, only known for outside of draft nicks for the Hail Mary to one Jalen Strong against USC.
Oh, that's right.
Obviously late in the game to win it on the road. So Jalen Strong and his one shining moment, although he was a really good college player. Mike Berkovici known for that until he got lit up in the AAF debut. You asked me my thoughts on it before the show, and my one thought is, first, we can get into Mike Martz still playing offense like he's in the 2000s, the early 2000s.
How much did you watch, by the way?
I watched the entire first half.
There's two games each day.
Yeah.
There's eight total teams.
They are regionalizing the CBS games because most of the country got San Antonio versus San Diego versus San Antonio. Mike Martz is coaching the San Diego team. Mike Riley, I think, is coaching the San Antonio team. I watched about half of that. Then I watched the Rockets and on the Netflix, whatever. quarterback play obviously is going to be an issue, offensive line play, as they kept talking about. But I think they're, if they can find dynamic quarterbacks, not even just like good quarterbacks, but like, because if they're good quarterbacks, they're in the NFL or in, on training camp rosters. Like, if they can find themselves not dynamic guys who can actually throw a football, I feel like that's the one thing that'll hold this league back from being something people will watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting, Mike Bercovici, fine. Who's the guy from San Antonio? I forgot his name. Logan Woodside actually looked okay. That, and maybe have a mandate where we're not going to play offense like we're still in the 2000s. We're going to go spread all the time.
And you got to play it like, yeah, I'm surprised they don't play college brand offenses, because that's more, I brought that up with Oliver Luck. I'll tell you one of the things I took away is, and I kind of knew this anyway, so they have 8 teams in the AAF. There's no question that there are going to be some linebackers and running backs and probably defensive backs who make it from this league. If this turns into a feeder league, which is what it feels like, if you got Bill Polian, you know, one of the heads of it, I don't have any doubt that there's going to be a few players here and there that end up on NFL rosters. They've been there anyway. This is their chance to go get more game tape. That's going to happen. But what really stood out to me is that you've got Don Yee's Pacific Coast Football League or whatever starting in 2020, the agent for Tom Brady. More importantly, you got the XFL starting in 2020, and we'll have a team here in Houston. How in the world are those XFL teams going to be competitive at quarterback? Like, I don't have any – there's not enough quarterbacks.
Yeah, to the fill in NFL roster for a backup to play and come in and do well. That's the thing I was looking at and thought to myself, God, quarterback play is terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that improves other than it becomes, like you said, a feeder league where you can send your third quarterback down and say, all right, instead of having an offseason off, you're going to go play in this league because you don't have any reps. And we want to take a look at you. And maybe the guys who can make an NFL roster as the practice squad guy or the emergency quarterback, even though that doesn't exist anymore, can go there and help that league become something that people can actually watch.
But you're under contract, though, right? Well, how's that going
to
work?
They have to figure it out. I don't know how you do it, because if an injury takes place, how does that work out? But, you know, the thought, you mentioned feeder league, the thought would be, I guess, that at some point you have it so you can send guys down who are not getting reps from your practice squad, and they become, maybe there's a mandate where they have to play. I don't know how it'll work out, but I don't see the Mike Bercovici's of the world. I know him because I watch college football, but I just don't know.
It's not name brand.
Yeah, and the poor quarterback play and the guys who just don't make the simple throws. I think it would help if Mike Bercovici wasn't playing any offense that was relevant in the early 2000s, because Mike March will have a running back block, not a running back, a tight end block a defensive end for a half a second, and then he'll go out in a route. And Bercovici, because, you know, it's the first game they've actually played together, really, doesn't have timing down with anyone, so he's getting destroyed, and the offensive line isn't great. I think it would help. That would help quarterback play. I don't know how you make it an easier game for the quarterbacks to make it more entertaining for the fans, but you got to find a way to stop running split backs. I saw that for two teams.
That doesn't exist.
No, it no
doesn't exist since the early 80s.
Birmingham was running it.
And split backs. You mean like Bill Walsh ran with Roger Craig and Tom Rathman?
Birmingham ran it a couple times. And so does San Diego.
Oh, maybe they're trying to fool the other team because they hadn't seen it so long.
Oh, it worked. Oh, it really worked, because it was split back, fourth and one, and they handed it off to the fullback, and he got tackled behind the line of scrimmage.
So here's what Maddie says. And here, if you guys want to jump in and give us your thoughts, if you watched any of it and you want to be a star and talk on the radio show, 713. I put on Twitter, I said, this is my personal cell phone, 713-780-3776, and I want to talk to each of you individually, but so far, no bites. Here's what Maddie says. Maddie says, surprisingly, the AAF was much better than anticipated. Glad to see the NFL Network carrying the games. Very good former college players, many of which we all knew by name, and the rule changes made sense. Not too many drastic changes. Pretty good football. Lamont says, yes, enjoyed it, mainly because I didn't feel like it was competing with my zeal for the NFL, which, by the way, I think is a big key here. For a throwaway BS weekend, it's something entertaining to do, especially when you hear all the former names in college and the NFL. So that's the thing. This was like a glorified East-West Shrine Game to me, where you have a bunch of guys who are not going to get drafted. You have some guys who might be middle-round picks and a few late-round picks as well. Some of them will be going to the combine. So, but they're names that fans in Pac-12 will recognize, some of them. Fans in the SEC will recognize some. Fans in the Big Ten and the AAC will recognize some, but they're not headline names. What I thought was kind of interesting, though, is it is like a little mini all-star game for guys, because Zach Stacy's in the league, Trent Richardson's in the league. There's some dudes who are in the league that you're going to know.
Kenneth Farrell from here is in the league as well.
Yeah,
U of H. Shout out to Trent Richardson fumbling, I think, on his second carry. I don't know what it was.
He did score two touchdowns. Yeah. But, yeah, he fumbled.
And I guess the regional aspect would help, too. I mean, he played for the Birmingham Iron. Obviously, his ties to Alabama. I guess that'll be something. I don't know if they will mainly – I don't know if they will put a huge focus on making sure guys from the surrounding area who play college ball go there. That would help. That'll help the local fan base.
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, I've never been a big fan of thinking that you're going to sell tickets to sustain a league, because it's not going to happen. But here we got two guys, Maddie and Lamont, who watched – and who liked the – and, you know, my timeline was kind of similar. People were surprised the football was better than they thought. It was more watchable than they thought. And it was football on a weekend. And this is going to shock some of you. We're about to get Jesse and Ashton in. This may shock some of you. From a rating standpoint, now this is opening weekend, but there are going to be a lot of people who didn't know about the league and who missed it. The NBA, Rockets versus Thunder, those are headliners in the Western Conference, right? 2.4 million viewers on ABC. On CBS, the AAF game got 2.9 million. The AAF outdrew the NBA. Does that surprise you at all, Dell? That surprised me.
I wonder. Yeah, I guess OKC and Houston are two good teams, but maybe if, I wonder if it's a different matchup. It might have been different, but it did surprise me that it was that high. And I will say, as far as the game itself, I was expecting a level maybe at the level of the third or not the third, the fourth preseason game. It was better than that.
I think it was.
It was better than that, which helps. And if they can find a way to, now some of the scores is particularly the first game, the one that was featured, low scoring. I think it was a lot of field goals being kicked. I tuned out at the start of the second half. They can find a way to improve. You would think their quarterback play would improve as they play more. I think that will help the league as well.
Let's get Jesse in here. What's going on, Jesse? What did you think about what you saw this weekend?
Hey, you know, thanks for having me on. Yep. I like the product. Obviously, the speed isn't the NFL speed, but the product was really nice. And the best thing that stood out to me was the officiating. I thought the officials were already better than the NFL officials.
Did you like the...
Maybe because the speed is slower, maybe that's why. But I thought the officials were really nice.
You know what I love about this is finally you get a G League for football. But now I know that's not
exactly
the way they have sold it, but that's hopefully what it will be. And that includes for referees too. Get some competition for young officials or with some young officials out there. I totally agree with that. What did you think about the transparency of, if you didn't see it, you had the officials debating and deliberating a call when it was challenged the whole thing's mic'd up. So there's total transparency. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, I loved it. I was just picturing that one commercial they had where the guys were talking about something other than football, but I was picturing that happening. But no, I thought the officials were great. And the quarterback play was – it got better as the weekend went on.
Sorry, it gets the first week.
Rough,
yeah, but, I mean, it's first week. It'll get better, but these aren't great
– Exactly.
These aren't great quarterbacks. But relative to the level they're playing against, it may end up being okay. Jesse, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Is that Ashton? Yeah, let's get Ashton in here real quick before we get to a break as well. What's up? How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Lance? I think the one thing to take away from the league for sure, if you think about it like long-term-wise, first of all, everybody needs to pump their brakes on saying Trent Richardson's revitalizing his career. And then the other thing is that the biggest problem that the league is going to have is overexpansion too quickly, perhaps.
Yeah.
They're going to get all this hype. They're going to get a lot of attention. The question is, are they going to like expand to 16 teams next season, which is going to be asking a lot to find guys who aren't on NFL rosters but aren't in college at the same time to fill up the rosters for 16 teams. And then as a scout, you know this. Every scout in the country is probably trying to find the diamond in the rough to make their name off of one of these AAF teams.
If these guys, thanks for the call, if these guys are good, if they can play, they're going to get to the league very quickly. I mean, it'll be one and done. Here's what I'm concerned about a little bit for Houston's XFL team. We talked about it. There's only a certain amount of quarterbacks that can even play at all. But it's going to be kind of like when poker opened up in Houston and you had all these poker spots that were popping up. And if you follow this at all, it's just – it's diminishing and dwindling. And our spot, Prime Sports, is a not Prime Sports, but Prime Social, is a monster because it's the nicest. They got in early. They did it the best. And that's why they are eliminating everyone around them. This is what the XFL, and Don, I feel like Don Yee's has no chance, but Don Yee wants to build his on the thought that high school, he wants high school players who don't want to go to college to come to his league, which is going to put, let me tell you, colleges don't want that guy to succeed. I can promise you that. The AAF wants to be a feeder league. They want to be the G League, which is what's needed. The XFL wants to be a standalone, and they hope to, I think everyone's hope is to get some kind of affiliation with the NFL if possible. Getting in a year late, Dell, man, I feel like getting in a year late when everyone's going to be talking about these AAF games, at least the football heads will be.
Now, we know the XFL probably will have, I know they want to be sports, less entertainment, at least that's what we kind of heard from Oliver Luck, but they will have their built-in cross-promotion with the WWE, so we'll see. So they'll have a built-in way to promote their product for about a year or so, even before they're even on TV or even teams are named. I wonder with the XFL, since they don't want to be a feeder league and they may not adhere to some of the NFL rules as far as player eligibility, will they say, hey, maybe we don't take kids right out of high school, but we'll give you an age limit. If you're 20 and you don't want to play college football anymore, you can come play for us.
Yeah.
I wonder because I imagine the AAF wouldn't do that because they want. It feels like they want an association with the NFL. But if you're and they don't,
AAF's not going to mess with anything. That's what the XFL is going to have to try to adopt.
And I would think like there are plenty of college players who either don't want to go to class.
Is that the new transfer portal? You transfer right to XFL.
Well, some kids will stay in school with the transfer portal, but maybe you say to yourself, "I'm 20 years old. I spent a couple years in the XFL. Maybe I'm good enough to make the NFL. I'll make the transition
Canada's
that way."
Canada is a dead man's league now.
I'm just saying, if the XFL wants to differentiate, you say, hey, maybe not 3 years in college. Maybe we don't take you right out of high school. But if you're 20, which would mean probably a 2 years or maybe a year and a half in college, come play for us because we're a league that will pay you to play football.
Man, but you know what? I shouldn't say this. This is, hold on. Nicole, can you turn the radio down for a second? That's my wife's taking the kids to school. Hold on one second. Hey, Nick, I'm talking directly to her. Turn the radio down because what I'm about to say, I don't want the kids hearing. In fact, everybody with kids, turn the radio down for like 2 minutes. And I'm going to go to a break after this anyway. 3, 2, 1. You know, the ass factor, though, from AAF or XFL is just not going to be as good as college. If you go to Clemson, if you go to Alabama, if you got a chance to go to Washington, I mean, I don't even care where. Any program where you're a decent player, I'm not just the ass factor's too great. You can't just go get your little 26,000 and not be chasing
it. 26,000. I thought the AF players were making it in the 70 range. I thought I looked that up.
Are they? Maybe you're right. That's pretty good.
I'm not talking about Trevor Lawrence doing it. I'm talking about like that.
What about a high school kid, though? I'm thinking about like the new Zion Williamson of football. If there's a choice between being the big swinging you know what on campus or playing in XFL or AAF, there's no doubt whether he's going to. You should go to college because, frankly,
you'll get paid more anyway.
I didn't say that. Dell said that, Commissioner. Dell said that. Head of the SEC.
I don't care what Mark Emmert has to say.
Who's that? He said that Lundquist.
Vern
Lundquist. He said it.
Vern is not the head of the SEC. He just used to call games.
Hey, Gary Danielson. That was Dell that said that. I didn't say that.
No, like, I'm not going to name players, but we talked about it last week where an Auburn player was pissed off that a guy who was committed to Auburn since April of 2017 at the last minute flipped to Georgia, and he goes, "Hey man, you better start dropping them bags. Stop pretending." Pretty much is what he tweeted it.
He did.
He quote tweeted the guy decommitting and going to Georgia. And go, "Hey man, you know what it is." I'm paraphrasing. "You better stop dropping those bags."
Man, it's
even
this...
a kid at Auburn was telling his own school to drop bags to make sure guys commit.
I can't wait until the hashtag routing number becomes a thing.
Yeah. So
hashtag routing number.
Look, that mom, the mom of the kid who flipped, was on the phone with somebody right before the kid made the commitment. They're like, "Wow."
Oh, I'll tell you what it sounded like.
"Press 2 to hear recent deposits.
Doot.
You have an AQH transfer
from UGA Athletics.
UGA Athletics for $25,000.
Higher.
Well, that's the first.
He's a five-star higher.
Oh, what? It's higher?
Yeah.
Than 25?
For a five-star wide receiver?
For the first one?
Well, I think they wanted it all. This wasn't the lottery where they're getting in installments.
Well, you got to. This is the one right before signing day. And then, you know, after that,
well, we
it's kind of like paying for a floor guy.
Well, we're going to commit publicly for $75K. And then when you give us our next $75K, we'll enroll.
Damn, the bags are. Well, then. I'm sorry, Don Yee, but you don't have the money.
No, he doesn't have the money.
You don't have the money to fade this league. 735 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein, Del Olale with you. I want to tell you that Texas Custom Patios, I got to see Steven tomorrow. He's got a floor guy, and he's got a something guy for everything. This is one of the reasons why Texas Custom Patios are so good. I had drainage issues in my yard, and part of what he does is he'll take care of drainage issues. They put two drains in my yard, which has made an enormous difference. They tie it into pre-made drains. They even build new, they'll tunnel new drains for you out to the street to get rid of the water that is either in your backyard or in your patio. That's part of what they do. Another part of what they do is you find out when you're going to have a custom patio built, you're going to do stamped concrete. Do you want to do travertine? How do you want to get this done? Because there's a wide variety to choose from. What type of, do you want some new windows on the back of your home? You want to refresh your entire home? You want to do, that's what I did. I also, it wasn't in my initial plans. I also went brand new siding on the back of my home. And then we built in the space, I didn't do anything. Texas Custom Patios built an entirely new portion of I had a gap in space there in my backyard, filled it in with the concrete and built the slab there, and then pitched a giant roof and they connected it to my house, and it looks like the house was built like that. Like, it is amazing work that they did. It's an outdoor living space for me. The kids can go outside and watch games. I can go outside, have a cocktail, do draft stuff, watch my basketball team, my baseball team, just Netflix and chill without the chill part. That's all of, well, I can, but there's a neighbor next door that has upstairs and she tries to peek in on me. But make sure that you go check out the website for nothing else to see what my backyard looks like now, what it started as and what it looks like now. The before and after will blow you away. TCPLance.com. That's Texas Custom Patios, doing it bigger than any place in the state of Texas.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So John Granato is out today with what he said was he's blowing blood out of his nose and he has pleurisy or pneumonia, can't breathe. It's also his birthday today. That's a real life thing. It's John Granato's birthday today. I think there's an outside shot he could be getting birthday tributes and didn't want to come in because the tributes were going well.
How much stamina do you think he has?
Well, I think he wants to sleep after.
Oh. You think?
And my birthday tributes might just be relaxing, Dale, with no steak. It's not March.
Huh. He just lays there?
Laid back with his mind on his money and his money on his mind.
Pleurisy. Do you think he looked that up or did he just have pleurisy in his back pocket?
No, he had pleurisy in his back pocket. The same way that's like grandma stuff or grandpa stuff where you just know. I feel like that's what it is. He's got another one called there's some other like old person disease that he, like from the 1920s that he gout? Always talks about too. Not gout.
Does he have gout too?
He didn't have gout. You limp your ass in with some gout, Granato. So thoughts and prayers with John Granato as he fights through pleurisy or pneumonia or tuberculosis, whatever it is that has got him down. We did bring up the AAF. If you watch this, Jeremy said this. Jeremy says the pace was fantastic. They need to to do a better job of explaining some penalties that were called, particularly the illegal defense calls. You'll lose casual fans if they don't know why penalties are being called after the play. You know, every game came in under 3 hours, which I get, you know, congratulations, I
guess.
Their
plan was 2.5.
Yeah.
That's the goal for them. And good. I mean, I do think maybe it's a CBS thing, but they wanted to immerse you so much with the audio that I guess anytime the mics are live on players and on coaches, I guess anytime someone cursed, the feed cut out even when it was just the announcer talking. So that might be an issue you're going to have to figure out because an announcer might, Spiro, I don't know what his last name is, but it was Tiki Barber was there as well. Yeah. Those guys were talking, and then because the live mics on the field cut out, the entire thing cut out. So you would hear like silence for like a half a second, then they'd go back to talking.
By the way, thanks for the call, guys. Thanks. San Antonio's right down the road. I could have done a little something. Thanks for the call. Sideline reporter, nothing. Nothing. I can't be like a little Todd McShay that walks around and scouts these guys like, boy, I tell you what, right now, Sean Washington with that hit right there, you saw the twitch that you need to see as he bent the edge. What? I could do something like that.
Why do you sound so...
Because I'm going to do that little Todd McShay.
What's your issue with Todd McShay?
Nothing. He just needs to quit fronting, that's all.
No, you have an issue.
He needs to stop fronting. Whenever he sees me, he gets a little attitude.
Because when you put that voice on...
Yeah, it's not respectful.
Yeah, it's not respectful.
Well, then don't front whenever you see me in
public. What interactions do you have with Todd McShay?
Senior Bowl, Combine.
And he won't talk to you? Is that the problem?
Oh, hey, Lance. Well, he used to talk to me more, and then once I got the NFL gig, it's like, well, now he thinks
you're
I'm competition. I'm not trying to be competition.
You're not on TV.
You just front on TV. It's Scouts, Inc. It's the other guys that are doing all the work behind the scenes for you.
So maybe that's why he has an issue with him. You're clowning him.
Nah, because he knows that I know.
Oh, he knows that you know.
The grinders know. We know.
So he doesn't want to.
We put in that work, Dell.
Because
we put in that work.
He expects you to like slide in a little joke about how he doesn't work. Is that why he doesn't want to talk to you?
He knows.
Is this another Kay Adams type deal where you wanted a hug from Todd and you didn't get one, so now you're upset like you are with Kay?
No, it's not one of those deals at all.
Todd's a pretty boy.
It's not. No, he is.
So
he's all right.
You didn't get a hug and you were upset now?
He's not my guy, Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jeremiah puts in the work. Mm. Watching tape on a Sunday. What's Todd doing? Shrimp cocktail somewhere out in deck.
So he
putting
just,
in no work.
So if his boys
no work on a
so
February
if his boys
day.
Gave him bad info, like the producers on First Take give Stephen A. bad info, because I feel like they got it out for him.
Can we play that?
I feel like those guys have it out for him.
Ooh, Twitter almost. I felt woke Twitter kind of came at me a little bit.
What
the
did
other
you
day.
Do?
Well, you're gonna have to play this. I tell you what we'll do. Let's break it right now. When we come back, you'll play what. Stephen A. Smith is not doing well. Bring up a couple of them. See if you can bring up his Hunter Henry.
Yeah, it feels like because he's not locked in. He doesn't do the research.
No, he's an East Coast guy. East Coast guys don't follow college football.
The producers are sliding him info, and I feel like they're setting him up.
See, I don't feel like – I feel like – okay, yes. What are we going to – here's the topics. We're going to talk about Dwayne Haskins. That's not a problem. We'll talk about Dwayne Haskins. What else? Are we going to get to the Celtics and Kyrie Irving? Yeah, of course we're going to get to Kyrie Irving. We'll just have this little thing. Okay, that's the only college football. We're not talking about Kyler Murray. No, we're not going to talk about Kyler Murray. Okay, we'll talk about Haskins. I just think I can just float through this. This is no problem. This is not a problem. Because he said something so ridiculously terrible. And then I made a comment on Twitter. And then woke Twitter was like, I'm sorry, excuse me? And I'm like, oh, no. Woke Twitter's here. I just heard this. Hello? Who is it? It's Woke Twitter.
What do you hear? What do you want? I don't want anything.
Oh,
we're just trying to
Twitter?
Ruin your career.
Oh,
don't worry. It won't take that long. Just interact with us. We're just trying to ruin your career.
Listen. Just have some some Twitter interaction. It's not a big deal. Like, oh, it's a big deal. No, we're just trying to get you to trip up and say something. Don't worry.
Look, woke Twitter is almost as bad as the unexpected knock on your door when you don't expect someone to come to your door because
that's a bad feeling.
Who just knocked? Why?
What's worse, Jehovah's Witness or woke Twitter?
Ooh, I've never gone.
The worst feeling? We already know woke Twitter's worse than Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. The knock on the door, actually, Jehovah's Witnesses take about 10 minutes of your time, maybe. Woke Twitter tries to end your life as you know it.
No. And you know what it is? It's like some white guy who has a Black Lives hashtag Black Lives Matter in his bio, and then he's got like He's got the teams he follows. Then he's got a hashtag to show how woke he is. And then he's got a picture of himself. And then he lives probably around the Pacific Northwest in that general area. And he is like, you don't know about our struggles. Like,
he's an ally. We like to call him an ally.
Does he get to say our struggles?
It depends on how woke he is, Lance. And who
you know he doesn't get to say our struggles.
Yeah, it's a stretch for him. It depends on who he knows and who he talks to. I would ask him not to say that. I appreciate him being an ally of mine, but I'm going to need you to not say our struggle.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll play what Stephen A. Smith said because it shows that he doesn't watch any college football. But was it racist?
It's a setup. I don't know about racist.
Well, woke Twitter said it was racist. And I'll tell you what my comment was. And it started, I realized, be careful. They just knocked on the door and they just want to talk to me. 7:48 here on the bench. I want to tell you about Men's Tee Clinic. If you are going to be at your very best, you need to have your gas tank filled. And when I say gas tank filled, you know, a lot of times we think about, I need coffee or I need the right food. You need to make sure that you're hydrated. Yeah, those things are all important, obviously. But you know what's even more important for men at or over the age of 40? Is making sure your testosterone level is where it's supposed to be. Because those are like, that's like the carburetor. That's not the gas tank. That's really more carburetor. The actual engine, is it where it's supposed to be so that we'll run properly? Because your engine stuff can not be great and your car can still run, but it doesn't run effectively and it's inefficient. When you've got your testosterone levels where they're supposed to be, you are purring along. Your body type changes back to more lean muscle mass. You start having greater energy. Your libido spikes. Your desire and drive at work takes on new levels. And you stop being a couch potato. You live your best life on the weekend. No more laying around doing nothing, just watching AAF football. You're probably out there running into people. And if your libido's good, that's fine. Make sure that you go to Men's Tee Clinic. 4 locations in the Houston area. Pasadena, Pearland. You got a location at Cypress and one right there in the Heights, which is where I go to. MensTeeClinic.com.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He's bigger. He can make all the requisite throws on the NFL level. He played for a big-time program at Ohio State. I just find him to be more of a runner than a thrower. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I find. I look at Colin Murray.
That was Stephen A. Smith talking about Dwayne Haskins. He can make the requisite throws. I would agree with that. He's big. He played for a major program. I think that's all. I agree to all that. Now, he finds him to be more of a runner than a thrower. Dwayne Haskins is an African-American quarterback, if you don't follow any college football. He was one of the Heisman finalists. Stephen A. finds him to be more of a runner than a thrower. Let me just give you his stat. All I'm just going to do, and I'll let you guys figure this out. Here's his stat line. He ran 79 times for 108 yards. No, not in the game this year. He had 108 yards rushing this year. 79 rush attempts. I think sacks are inside rush attempts. Pretty positive. He did throw for 4,800 yards this year, which is he hit the 400-yard mark 1, 2, 3 straight games. He hit it 5 times. Yeah, 5 400-yard games. He threw for 50 touchdowns. Almost 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. He basically did what Pat Mahomes did in about 3 fewer games. And he ran for 108 yards. But what Stephen A. Smith finds, despite his 4,800 yards passing and 50 touchdown passes, it's the 108 yards rushing on 79 attempts that kind of speaks to him in terms of what kind of quarterback he is. Now, obviously, I commented on well, there was somebody showed the video, and I had a comment, Dale. I had a comment. There was talk about this is racism. Now, the way I see it, I feel like it is prejudicial, and we don't use the word prejudice. Everything is racism now. That's racist instead of prejudice. Prejudice is actually more apropos a word. It just, that was the word that we all heard when I was young, and we learned what it was to prejudge. To prejudge somebody based on your stereotypes or associations. Some would argue the semantics of it, whatever the case may be. But I said, this will be one of the least accurate things you will hear during the draft season. My two comps I consider for Haskins was Jameis Winston and Drew Bledsoe. That should tell you all you need to know about run versus pass with Haskins. Then someone said, it's not inaccurate, Lance. It's racist. I quote tweeted and said, it's not racist. Stop throwing that word around haphazardly. He's clearly working off of a stereotype and hasn't seen him much. That has nothing to do with the definition of racism. This word gets used so often for all the wrong reasons. Now, and then all of a sudden, and then woke Twitter came to the door.
Excuse me. We're here to end your life as you know it. Woke Twitter.
Woke Twitter was, they started digging around like, actually, I'm in social sciences, and stereotypes are the exact definition of racism. And then this guy wanted to debate me on what racism meant, which I knew was a woke Twitter trick.
You gotta bail out.
No, I bailed on him. I muted him. I made a comment. I muted him. I knew it was a trap. That was a trap. It was like that Star Wars meme. It's a trap. And I knew woke Twitter, this guy was trying to trap me. It was classic. This guy was from San Francisco, a white guy who is in social sciences. Classic trap. Not falling for that, woke Twitter. You're not getting me. So anyway, I went back and forth with several people. Then Patrick Claibon from the NFL Network said, I'm curious as to, and he wanted to engage me, and I knew it was a friendlier face, and yet still woke Twitter. More followers than the guy with the social sciences. I am just acutely aware of when I'm potentially being tricked or trapped, or can be. So I am very, very careful. Luckily, John Granato is not on the same stage because he would be gone by now. Twitter would have eradicated John by now if he were on any kind of stage. It's the Peter principle. John needs to stay right where he is. He should never go above this level because you know what's going to happen. We both know what's going to happen, Dale.
It won't end well.
No. And he gets away with things that are unbelievable on this show.
It's weird. I mean, I can...
The Teflon John.
We can delve into why he gets away with things. I mean, but it's surprising that even in this day and age, he can do what he does.
It is surprising. And I find it refreshing because it doesn't take much to go down. People have to send massive apologies for clothes they make. And yet there's John doing his thing on a daily basis. I love it. I never stop being you, John. I'll never be you. I don't have any interest in being you. I let John do that. And then look what it's led to. Pleurisy and pneumonia. So,
both
tuberculosis.
Things he deserves.
Yeah, and things that he deserves. And maybe this is
a wake-up call,
punishment.
John.
Maybe that's his punishment. But Stephen A. Smith clearly hasn't watched much college football. He's an East Coast guy. East Coast guys don't watch college football, typically. That's not a big sport in the East Coast. I think he has a cursory knowledge of Dwayne Haskins, but that doesn't, college football doesn't hit his radar that much on a national level. It's not one of the things he talks about. Now, you think a producer gave him, I think it was a topic and he thought he could breeze right through it. And he just made a stereotypical comment about a black quarterback that couldn't be, it wasn't even remotely close to being accurate. Not even remotely close. But do you find it to be racist?
That's not racist.
Because if his comment is racist, then shouldn't woke Twitter try to get his job ended?
Did they?
No.
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 I don't think it's racist. I think it's...
I think it's ignorant of the subject matter.
Ill-informed. I think... I feel like he's... Like you said, he doesn't... He's not locked in on college football. I feel like they gave him some info and he was like, huh, I'm going to run with it. I feel like it's a setup, but we can get into my conspiracy theory at a different time. He's not racist. It's just a guy saying something dumb about a player he doesn't know much about. He didn't. I mean, there are racist things that you could say. He didn't say any of them. He just doesn't know.
Now, I will say, I think we all know, if Max Kellerman had made that comment, there'd be a bigger uproar.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's the way it works. It's not fair, and I think anyone who says opposite of that is... Now, at least people came after him for relying on old stereotypes. I think that's consistent, and that's fair, because it is... you know, that stereotype, if you watch, does not apply to him. There are quarterbacks who are black who are better runners, like Kyler Murray. There are some white guys who are pocket passers who don't run well. And then there are some that actually do move pretty well, including in this year's draft. Baker Mayfield moves pretty well. Daniel Jones is actually a better scrambler than some people will give him credit for. Drew Lock, not as good a scrambler as I thought he would, based on his history of being an all-state basketball player. I thought he'd have a little more wiggle in the pocket, but he got sacked a ton this year. But Stephen A. Smith was just ignorant of the subject matter. He just said something stupid. Now, from what I understand, I don't follow him on Twitter. He didn't double back and, oh, we got break it. See what you're doing, Dell? You can't trust me to do this.
Well, it's kind of what you've been doing for, you know, the better part of your adult life.
All right. Let me break it right here. When we come back, we will...
We'll
talk to Richard Justice. I'll call Richard Justice here right now. You're listening to The Bench.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.